Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. His best-known building is the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City, a Gothic masterpiece graced by soaring stone arches and columns. The cathedral was designed by architect Ralph Adams Cram, but his most famous Massachusetts creations are often the objects of anticipation, frustration, and sometimes even radio station parody.
There'll be green Mitsubishis and lots of Jeeps. A couple of Humvees with some rich bastard creeps. There'll be Chevys, Fords, and minivans, but this I should warn, you'll never get across that bridge in Bourne.
Well, maybe not never, but hopefully eventually, because the Sagamore and Bourne Bridges are celebrating their 75th anniversaries this year. In fact, this week. And you're probably more familiar with them as the landmarks that signify you've left behind the mainland. But the next time you're on your way to the Cape and you're stuck in that traffic, take a moment to look up at the bridge's solid stone support columns and those beautiful soaring steel arches, because in them you'll sense a Gothic echo of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York and the hand of its architect, Ralph Adams Cram, who believed that Gothic construction was less, quote, a manner of construction than a visualizing of a spiritual impulse. Cram was a remarkable, revolutionary architect of his time, but today very few know his story, so we are going to rediscover it. Listeners, what's your experience of the Ralph Adams Cram's Cape Cod bridges? Do you admire their beauty, or are you just so frustrated by the time you finally get to them that you want to see the backside of them in your rearview mirror? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining us now is Karen Jeffrey. She's a reporter with the Cape Cod Times, and she recently wrote an article about the bridges and their history. Welcome to Radio Boston, Karen.
Well, thank you very much.
Also with us is Ethan Anthony. He's an architect who currently works for HDB Cram & Ferguson, the firm founded by Ralph Adams Cram. He's also the author of The Architecture of Ralph Adams Cram and His Office. Ethan Anthony, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna.
And we're also joined today by a descendant of Mr. Cram himself. He's David Scudder. He is Ralph Adams Cram's grandson. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mr. Scudder.
Well, thank you very much.
Karen, let me start with you. You wrote this really fascinating article for the Cape Cod Times, kind of laying out the hidden history of these bridges. Just walk us through it, through us briefly. The 75th anniversary means that the Bourne and Sagamore bridges were completed at about 1935, if I do my math correctly.
That's right. They were opened officially on June 22nd, 1935, with a huge celebration that involved governors from Massachusetts and Rhode Island and a party that had 8,000 people, and from what I could research, there was somewhere between 100,000 and 200,000 people lining the streets for the parades over the bridges.
Mm-hmm. And at the time, I mean, this is Depression-era America, the construction of the Sagamore cost some $1.4 million, and the Bourne, some $1.6 million, may seem like small change today, but it was quite a bit back then. But also, Karen, remind us that the canal that the bridges currently cross was smaller, but it was the fact that they had to be widened in order to get more shipping traffic through that was the inspiration behind building these bridges in the first place.
Correct. And also, ironically, these two bridges were built also in part to ease the traffic problem. There were much lower, flatter bridges that came across the Cape. And I interviewed a fellow who, as a child, had come down with his family from Dedham to visit the Cape. He always hoped there would be a traffic jam because his father would pull over and buy he and his brother a box of Cracker Jacks and a tonic, as he said. These new bridges were in part heralded as an end to the Cape's traffic problems for visitors.
Mm-hmm. And Ethan Anthony, you work currently at the architecture firm that Ralph Adams Cram founded.
Yes.
So he himself is this amazing character that no one's heard about. And you can see some of his inspiration and background in just in the sheer design of the Sagamore and Bourne Bridges. How is that?
Well, when you look at the bridge, you see a very powerful architecture of the buttresses and the buttresses which anchor the bridge as you approach it. And it's really much more powerful and much stronger and much bigger than would ordinarily be something that an engineer would do. It's, of course, much more than an engineer would do. Engineers tend to do things in the most practical and simple, straightforward way. And Cram, of course, was looking for the dramatic and picturesque effect. And a lot of the Neo-Gothic revival was about picturesque effect.
Mm-hmm. So there it is, that word Gothic, because he's heralded as a champion or maybe one of the most famous Gothic architects in America.
Very definitely, yes.
During his time. But at the same time, does that mean, I mean, I was reading that that meant in the 20s and 30s that maybe modernist architects kind of looked down upon the Cram style?
Well, actually, there was a great controversy at the time that modernism was beginning to go on the ascendant over traditional forms. And the modernist architects all derided traditional forms because of the fact that they were inspired by traditional previous classical architecture, particularly, and also Gothic architecture.
Mm-hmm. David Scudder, you're the grandson of Ralph Adams Cram. And as we were doing our research on Mr. Cram, here he is. We find him on the cover of Time magazine in 1926.
Right. Correct.
He's designed buildings in Oxford, in Tokyo, all over the United States, St. John the Divine, as we said, in New York City. How is it that your grandfather is someone who, 70 years later, outside of architectural circles, you think has suddenly fallen into obscurity?
That's a very good question, and I think it's because he espoused a type of architecture and espoused also a type of living, if you will, that was deeply based in the past. And the architecture was Gothic for the most part, but not always. Remember, the campus at Rice is anything but Gothic. But his style, and he lectured on this many, many times at Dartmouth, at Harvard, at plenty of universities, was great respect for religion and great respect for the past. And I think most Americans like to look forward.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, this is the thing about your grandfather that I just thought was such an eye-opener, because he seemed to be full of contradictions in his passion for the past, mm-hmm. and yet by virtue of being an architect and relying on engineering, he's relying on a lot of technologies that are rooted in the present. I mean, I read in his New York Times obituary, which Karen Jeffrey's article pointed us toward, that Ralph Adams Cram said about St. John the Divine Church in New York City, that the church should reflect that religion is one of the very essences of human life, and that any community that disregards it will disintegrate, and any civilization that follows the same course will perish. So did you see that sort of thread of spirituality and Christianity in how your grandfather approached his work in architecture?
Oh, yes, I think so, very clearly. And not only in architecture, but I've read a number of his books. I've read his lectures. He gave a famous series of lectures in 1921 at Dartmouth, which goes all the way into this. But he was not just that. He was a man of astonishingly breadth of talent. And there's one story about MIT, which you might be interested in. MIT, as you may know, was over on this side of the river until 1916.
Mm-hmm. The Boston side.
The Boston side. And they had to go over because they were running out of space. They had something like 19 different buildings. They had to move to Cambridge. Cram was the dean of the School of Architecture for 6 years at MIT until 1920. So they asked him to organize a pageant. Well, when my grandfather is asked to do something like that, he does it in style. I can just read very briefly from something on here. It was called The Mask of Power. The Mask of Power was performed once on June 13th, 1916. The scale of the event is difficult to imagine even today. 1,700 students and faculty members held parts, all elaborately costumed. 500 choristers from the area, accompanied by a 100-member orchestra. The mastermind behind this extravaganza was Ralph Adams Cram. He wrote the pageant, designed the costumes, did all the decorations, and played the roles of Merlin and pageant marshal. So there is a man, you see, who had a breadth of interest, really.
We're talking about the Bourne and Sagamore bridges that are celebrating their 75th anniversaries, and about the man behind the design of those bridges, Ralph Adams Cram. We'll take a couple of your calls right now. Beau's calling from Wellesley. Welcome to Radio Boston, Beau. Hello, Beau. Are you there? Looks like we don't have him. Let's go to Hull, where Joe is calling from. Welcome to Radio Boston, Joe.
Hi, Meghna. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I wish you much success in your new format. My recollection of the Sagamore Bridge, and it was this past August. My mother was in a nursing home in Sandwich. I lived in Hull, and... The day that Ted Kennedy's body was moved from Hyannis to Boston, from, roughly speaking, the Hanover Mall exit on Route 3, mm-hmm. at every exit you saw crowds of people standing, waiting. Mm. You got to the Sagamore Bridge, and both sides of the bridge were lined with people wanting to pay their last respects to what was perhaps Cape Cod's most famous resident.
Joe, thank you so much for that, because I think your story brings to mind exactly why culturally, not just architecturally, but in terms of the cultural fabric of Massachusetts, these bridges have played such an important role. They really stitch together parts of history and parts of geography of the state that otherwise maybe we wouldn't have. Ethan Anthony, your response to that?
Well, I think that, you know, I would go back to the question that you had asked before about how religion, why religion was such an important thing. And I think that even to speak to what David was saying, religion is probably the reason why, or one of the reasons why Cram experienced such an obscurity later on in his life, because it really fell out of favor in the United States. We became a much more technological society. But if you look at the BU campus, which Cram designed in 1939, the original BU campus, which you see from Commonwealth Avenue with the Marsh Plaza, what is the focal point of that design? It is the BU Chapel. Mm-hmm. And that is a consistent thread that runs across all of Cram's work, particularly for about 66 different universities and colleges and prep schools where he worked, and all the ones where he was in charge of the campus plan. The chapel is a very prominent and central focus, because he really believed that that the moral welfare of the individual was the most important thing that was happening at the university.
Karen Jeffrey at the Cape Cod Times. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you briefly, the other thing that Ralph Adams Cram seemed to be very renowned for, at least in his time, was he liked to use sort of local materials and make sure that a design really fit into the geography in which it was being placed. How did that work in terms of the design of these two bridges?
Well, one of the things that's been pointed out to me is that the scale of the bridges is such that they're lovely to look at, but you don't lose the landscape as you're driving over them or you approach them. So in some ways, that when you're looking through those arches as you're driving over the Sagamore, the Bourne Bridge, it's almost like looking through sort of a cathedral window down onto the canal. Mm. One way you'll see the railroad bridge, another way you'll be looking out towards Cape Cod Bay. I don't think actual natural materials necessarily came from the Cape, but it's obvious that the Cape's landscape, the mainland's landscape, as we call it, are very much part and parcel of what those bridges are. And if I might just add, the bridges are just such an important part of life on the Cape, obviously, because it's how we get to and from the mainland. But it's also become part of our vernacular, because we refer to, if you say you're going across the bridge, it means you're going off Cape, mm-hmm. most often to Boston. Or describing people who don't live here on the Cape are people from across the bridge. So they're just part of our daily lives, whether we stop and think about it or not.
And Ethan Anthony, if I could just turn the last question to you, because Ralph Adams Cram, we could talk about this man for hours and his
Indeed.
His internal contradictions and sort of the story that he presents of the 1920s and 30s when he was most active in his architecture. Mm-hmm. But briefly, I was reading in a 1922 lecture that he gave, he was an advocate for small government at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, government has come to occupy altogether too large a place in our consciousness. Democracies always govern too much. That is one of their great weaknesses. But yet, both these bridges, the Bourne and the Sagamore bridges, were built through Works Progress Administration money during the Great Depression, the act of big government.
Well, that's very true, but the bridges actually were, planning for the bridges began in 1928, which was actually at the very height of the boom. So it's not at all strange that this bridge, you know, would be part of a real big government response later. It wasn't funded until Franklin Roosevelt actually pushed for emergency funding to complete the project.
Okay, well, with that, I have to admit, we're only scratching the surface of what Ralph Adams Cram really brings to us in terms of the history of architecture in Massachusetts. Ethan Anthony, architect with Cram and Ferguson and author of The Architecture of Ralph Adams Cram and His Office, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Magna.
And David Scudder, grandson of Ralph Adams Cram, thank you as well for being here.
Thank you, Magna.
Karen Jeffrey, reporter for the Cape Cod Times, who opened our eyes to this very hidden but important man in the history of Massachusetts, thank you so much as well.
Well, thank you, too.
Up next, Massachusetts Congressman John Tierney says government contractors in Afghanistan are inadvertently funding Afghan warlords. Also,
if you're a playwright, you just naturally are always listening. You can be talking to somebody and listening to the people behind you at the exact same time.
Playwrights and the MBTA. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.